Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday evening shiur. This Shabbos, we read Parshas Miketz, but since we're, of course, in the middle of Hanukkah, tonight's the fifth night of Hanukkah, I thought I'd speak about something related to Hanukkah instead. During this past week, some of you may have seen it, a video was going around. It was sent to me by a number of people. I passed on to a number of people of a shiur from Rabbi Yoshe Ben Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, the Rav, Zichron Levracha, on the Yom Hanukkah from the early 1950s. Not exactly. I think it's a YouTube video, but it's not exactly a video, and it's an audio recording. But it has pictures. They do it with the pictures of him speaking, so to speak, still shots of him speaking, and it kind of presents the shiur with that in the background. It's very interesting to listen to. It's a good recording. The shiur itself is in Yiddish, but there are English subtitles, and I'd recommend it. It's about a half hour long. It's a very beautiful shiur, and that's what I'd like to speak about for the most part this evening. Present that shiur from the Rav with some of the marakomas, the background, to the information he was referring to. Even if you hear tonight's shiur, it's still worth listening to the Rav deliver it. You know, I certainly won't be able to deliver it the way he did, just a masterful presentation. And it's kedai to listen to it. And the title, I think, is the Rav Soloveitchik on the hidden theme of Hanukkah. And again, it was a YouTube video that was circulating around. So that's what I'm going to speak about tonight. Before I get to that, I want to share something else that he said. And we'll begin with source one, of course, is the famous Gemara in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Chof Aleph Mebeis. In the first source, the Gemara says, "My Hanukkah." What exactly is Hanukkah? The first half of the page, two thirds of the page, is talking about dinim related to Hanukkah. The Gemara finally asks, "My Hanukkah." What exactly is it about? And they quote the Tanur Rabbanan, "Bechofei Kislev," starting the 25th of Kislev, Yom de Hanukkah Tamni. There are 8 days of Hanukkah. The Lulimisbid Rahom, the Lulisanis Bahom, they're not allowed to have any eulogies on that day, not allowed to fast on those days, and so on. And it tells briefly the story of Shekesh and Nichnas, Yuvan Lahechel, when the Greeks came into the Beis HaMikdash, they defiled all the Shmanim, all the oil flasks there. And when eventually Shagavra Malchus Beis Chashmon Eben Yitzchum, when the Chashmonoyim family and their associates defeated them, so they looked around, as we know, they found only one flask of oil, which really had only enough for one day, and they were able to light it for 8 days and stay there. Therefore, they weren't concluded with Shana Acheres another year. Sometime later, Kvom Asum Yom Tov Mahala Bahodom. Good, that's the brief Gemara with the history of Hanukkah, of my Hanukkah. Rashi, the second source number two, there in the Shabbos Chof Aleph Beis, Rashi asks, interprets, when it says my Hanukkah, the Gemara, it was asking, Al Ezen Neis Kva'uha. For what miracle, in commemoration of what miracle was this particular holiday established? And it says they found only one flask of oil, b'chosomo, right, with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, and they realized that nobody had touched it, so it wouldn't become defiled and so on. It had the heksher of the Kohen Gadol on it. And then they made it the days of Hala and Hodor, right? And Rashi explains, it's not a yontif in the sense of Yisrael Malacha. Rather, it was established beside Halal, according to Rashi, Hodor means to say Alanisim in the Bracha of Hodor and Modim. Okay, good. Now, the question is, first of all, and keep this in the back of your mind, what nace was it that Rashi refers to the nace of the oil? I mean, the Gemara refers to the nace of the oil. Presumably, that's the emphasis. When the Gemara asks, my Hanukkah, and Rashi says, alayza nace kavua, for what miracle, in commemoration of which miracle was this holiday established? So the Gemara tells the story of the oil, the pach ha-shemen. As for why it took 8 days, so the Ran, his commentary on the Rif there in Shabbos, Daf Tesma Beis in the pages of Rif source number three, Asum Yom Tov Mahal Vodah, and again, Losha Asum Alocha, we explain and so on, and he says, and that's why it's called Chanukah, because Chanu, they rested on Chof Hei, 25th of Kislev, and then the second line of source three, the Ran writes, Umshum Hachi Yom Shmoni Yom, and why did it take 8 days to get new oil? Umshahayalam Shemen Tor, Rochok Dalad Yomim, where the Shemen Tor was manufactured, it was a 4 day trip away. Maybe it was away from where the war was, whatever it was, a 4 day trip there and back. So they knew they needed 8 days to get the new oil. It took 4 days to get there, 4 days to get back from where the fresh tar olive could be found, the pure olive oil could be found. So that's why it's going to be 8 days. That's what the Ran writes. The Rambam says the following. The Rambam says, doesn't address this question directly, but the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Gimel, we mentioned in the past that the Hilchos Chanukah begins with Perek Gimel because the Rambam combines Hilchos Megillah and Chanukah into one unit. And so the first two chapters of Hilchos Megillah and the second two chapters of Hilchos Chanukah. So Chanukah begins in Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel, Locha Aleph, Bebai Yesheni, during the second temple period when the second base of Hilchos was standing, Shemal Chuyovo, and the Greeks were in charge. So again, the Rambam gives you a brief synopsis of the historical events and so on, and eventually they the Bnei Chashmonaim were victorious and they established a king. And here the Rambam elaborates a little more. All right, he says in Halacha Beis, when the Jewish people were triumphant over their enemies and they eliminated them, it was the 25th of Kislev, B'chamishav Esim B'chodesh Kislev, it was the 25th of Kislev, and they came into the Beis HaMikdash and only found Shemen Torah B'mikdash al Pach Echa, they only found one flask, only for 8 days, enough for one day, and it burned for 8 days, as we know. Because of this, they established the holiday Shmona Seyam Elu from the beginning of Milel Chamishav Vesim Kislev for the night of the 25th Kislev, 8 days in Simcha Vahalel, Umadrikam Baneros, etc. So the Rambam says, right? He says, because of this, they made the holiday. What's the because of this? What's the Zeh? What's the antecedent of that pronoun? The Rambam writes in Halacha Gimel, Paragim Halacha Gimel, will be Pnei Zeh, the first two words, Yiskinu Chacham, on account of this, the Chacham Institute, on account of what? So it looks like really the oil, the miracle of the oil. The previous halacha, he spoke about the oil that it burned for 8 days, but also he speaks about the triumph in the battle too. The Gemara doesn't seem to emphasize. The Gemara mentions simply kashagavra machus beis chashamim v'nitzchom. Okay, but the Rambam in Halacha Aleph takes it a little further. He said, "Kadosh Baruch Hu had rachamim v'hoshiyam, and he saved them, and v'gavru b'nei chashamim kadosh haragom." You know, so that they saved the people. So there, at least, it looks like the Rambam is also talking about the victory, the military victory in the battle. But again, the emphasis in even the Rambam appears to be the most immediate antecedent to that pronoun of Nezeh in Halacha Gimel is what he said in Halacha Beis about the oil burning for 8 days. Now, we're all well aware of the fact that the Beis Yosef in Siman Tov Reish Ayin in Os Aleph, the Beis Yosef is a famous kasha. It's known in the yeshivas and the Torah world as the Beis Yosef kasha. Even though actually people before the Beis Yosef raised the same question, even gave the same answer. The Tosfos Rosh in Brachas has the same question, the same answer. The Miri, other Rishonim quoted also. But the question is, as we all know, why do you need 8 days of Hanukkah? Why do you need 8 days? If there was enough oil for the first day, then the miracle was only for 7 days. Right? The Gemara says there was enough oil for the first day. That's the Gemara says that on the third line of source one, Daf Chof Aleph Beis, Lohayabo Lahadlik. They only had Elohadlik Yom Echad one day. The Rambam in the Parak Gimel there, Halacha Beis, also writes, that's how he learns. Again, I mentioned in the past, the Shiltas had a different Girsa. The Shiltas had a Girsa, Loherbo Lahadlik Afilo Yom Echad. It wasn't even enough for one day. Okay, so according to the Girsa of the Shiltas, then there's no question why the Chanukah is 8 days, because the miracle was taka 8 days, because they didn't have enough even for the first day. But okay, most learn not that way. That's not the text that we have, and it's not the text that the Rambam has. There was enough for the first day, so the miracle really only said less than 7 days. The Beis Yosef asked. Again, people before the Beis Yosef asked it, but he's giving credit for this question, the Beis Yosef's kasha. But Tom Shehutzuch Halad L'Kshom Shmoni Yomim. Okay, first of all, he says, why do they need 8 days altogether? So we read before the Ran on the Riffin Shabbos Sesam basis, because it took 4 days to get there and 4 days to get back from where the pure olive oil could be found. The Beis Yosef is a different reason. He says, because Shekol Yisrael, Hebecheskos Tmei Mesim, there was a war going on. So everybody who participated was Tomei. So they needed 7 days first to become Tor, to get rid of the Tumah, okay, Tumas Mace, and then to press the oil 1 day to have 8 days. That's why they need 8 days. That's what he says. Okay. And then he mentions the re-answer of the Ran as well. Then on the third line, he writes, that's another reason why they need 8 days. And then he writes on the third line there of source five, V'ika l'medak l'amu kavushmoni, l'amu kavushmoni yomim, the kevin to shemesh bracha ebokeh, the hadik lailachas, nimtsu shalos nasanei, salabashiva salayla, right? The miracle was only 7 days because they had enough for the first. So he gives three different answers. One was they divided up into eight parts because they knew it was going to be 8 days. So they only poured in a little bit, 1/8 each night. And that 1/8, which should have only served as enough to burn for 1/8 of the night, it burned the whole night. So it was the first night as well as the night. It's a different teretz that when they poured the oil out on the first day, all the oil out of the flask into the menorah, and then they put the cup of the flask down. Oh, it's still full with oil, right? It's still full. Even the first day, that was noticeable. Or another answer is that they filled the attack, they filled everything up, and there was nothing in the flask. The next morning when they came, after the candles had burned all night, the oil was all still there, full like it was before. Okay, those are different answers that Beis Yosef. For our purpose now, though, the Prichodosh gives a different territory. The Prichodosh there in our Chaim Sin Tov Reish Ayin in Sif Aleph Source number 6, he says, it was called Chanukah, Chanu B'Kaf Hei, and so on, but meaning that they rest on the 25th. So 1 second. So, in Lafukam Yom Chavdalet Shalom Chanu Ela Ba'erev. What does it mean? We call it Chanukah because the first day of complete rest from battle was the 25th. implying that actually the battle was won on the 24th, but they fought on part of the 24th. So the first full day of rest and tranquility following the battle was on the 25th. And that's why Hanukkah says, that's why Hanukkah begins on the 25th. B'chein Kovel Adaris. That's what Chodesh says first. However, he notes that that's not what the Rambam said. If you look back now, in Paragim Alacha Beis, in source four, the middle source in source four, he says, Ukesha Gavru Yisrael Oivein V'ibdom B'chamishah V'esim B'chodesh Kislevayim. Says the Rambam, 1 second. The victory was on the 25th. Okay, the victory was actually on the 25th. The Pichodesh just said that actually they finished the battle on the 24th, but they were, you know, didn't finish the battle, punked right at the start of the day of the 24th. Part of the 24th, they were fighting. Then the battle came to an end. So 25th was the first full day. Okay, that's the Pichodesh writes, but that's what the Rambam says. Pichodesh notes this. The Rambam says that the victory happened on the 25th. Muchach behedesh and nitzchu biyom chavhei. He said, 1 second, in Kane Kasha Kasha, I have a problem. He said, because Eich Madlikin Belel Chafei, Havalahadik Belel Chavov. Says the Pichodesh, if you read the Rambam carefully, the victory happened on day 25, and then they went into the Beis HaMikdash and poked around. They only found the one flask of oil. Okay. So when did they light that flask of oil? That evening, which was ready the 26th. So Pichodesh says, 1 second. So according to the Rambam, we should really start Hanukkah on the night of the 26th of Kislev, not the 25th, because the battle ended on the 25th. Then they went into the Beis HaMikdash, searched around, found the one flask of oil, and lit for the first time the night of the 26th. They didn't light the night of the 25th because the battle wasn't over yet. Of course, Pichodesh's first approach, the battle already ended on the 24th. So you could say they lit already the 25th. But that's not what the Rambam says. Pichodesh notes, that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that the day of the victory was the 25th. Okay, so it means they didn't light till the night following the 25th, meaning the night of the 26th. So we should really start Hanukkah night of the 26th. So Pichodesh, he had a kasha, it's a good kasha. So the Pichodesh answers, he says, V'yesh lomar shomad demakshim, he says, we can answer this question with another answer to Beis Yosef's kasha. There really should only be 7 days. It's Enochanami. In fact, he says, lighting Hanukkah candles is taka 7 days, starts on the 26th. Okay, because that really the first day Taka wasn't a miracle, as we said. Okay, the first day, according to the way the Rambam says, according to what the Beis Yosef says, they had enough oil for the first day. The miracle was only for 7 days. Okay, so Mamela says the Pichodesh. So what are we celebrating the first day for? So you know why? Because the first day is to celebrate the triumph in the battle. Delilah Rishona Ho Mishum Nitzachon. Zion, Leilo Sacheris, whom he answers, kills two birds with one stone. Okay, he answers both kashas. He says, and Beis Yosef's kashas, what are we celebrating? Hanukkah in 8 days, we only celebrate for 7 days because they had enough oil for the first day. It's only 7 days of miracle. And the Chanami, says the Pichodesh, we light the candles for 7 days, starting day 2 through 8. Day 1, we're not celebrating the lighting of the Hanukkah candle because they didn't light the candle of the menorah that night yet. Until that night, rather. The night of on the 25th, they didn't light the menorah, says the Pichodesh. Because according to the Rambam's approach. Because according to the Rambam, the triumph of the battle happened on the 25th. Right? Again, that's what Rambam says in Perek Malach HaBeis. The triumph was on the 25th. So Mela, it wasn't until the 25th that they went to the Beis HaMikdash, poked around, found the one flask of oil. They didn't light till that next night. Not on the 26th already. So says the Pichodesh, Anach Hanami, starting on the 26th, the next 7 days, they lit, so the candle burned, 7 days of miracle. So we have 7 days. So what do we celebrate on the 25th? On the 25th, we celebrate the triumph in the battle. That's the Pichodesh. And that also answers the other question that he started, answers the Beis Yosef Kasha, and also answers our question of why we celebrate at all on the 25th. If nothing happened until the night of the 26th. No, something did happen on the 25th, namely the triumph of the battle. So that's the Pichodesh. Solves the problem of the Beis Yosef and also solves our question of why we begin celebrating Hanukkah on the 25th if they didn't first light until the night of the 26th. Enoch Hanami, the lighting, our celebration of the oil miracle starts tucking the night of the 26th. The first day, okay, we're celebrating there. We're lighting a candle, fine, that's the theme, but we're lighting it not so much to celebrate the miracle because that didn't happen yet, but rather because we're celebrating the triumph in the battle. That's the Pichodesh's terrors to this kasha. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, and again, this is not in that shiur that I want to focus on mostly tonight, that's one of these videos going around, but there's something else that's related. The Rav said a different thing. So if you look in Parshas Tetzaveh, okay, Parshas Tetzaveh, where we find for the first time the menorah, you know, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the Mishkan, right? The beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, Shmos Parakov Zayim Pazuchav, Ba'atot Tetzaveh Zmei Yisrael, Etzet Shavikwa Lech Hashem and Zayizoch, Kosis Lamor Lahalos Ner Tomid, and so on. That's in Parshat Tetzaveh when telling what the menorah is for in the Mishkan. Then in Parshas Emor, almost identical. Psukim per kav dalet psukim aleph to gimel in the Torah said eight and Emor. And the Beis Hamor Tzavis may sell vikul lecha shem and zayis zoch kosis lamor lahalos near Tommy. Almost identical. Because the gimel mechutz the parochos they do see arochos aaron merav and so on and so forth. Rashi there and Emor says what is repeated over here. The Rashi then per kav dalet psukim beis and vayikra nine Parshas Atzad Tzavel never ala seidam aleches tamishkan lefarish tzorech hamenorah. Back in Parshas Tzavel, it wasn't a commandment in terms of the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the mishkan. And subsequently in the Beis HaMikdash, rather than telling what the menorah is for, and here it's telling you the mitzvah. Okay. Now, in Parshas Pekudei, the menorah lights, the flames of the menorah, are called Neros HaMarocha. And it's most perk, Laman Tes, Pesach Laman Zayin, 10. As HaMenorah HaTorah, as there was there, Neros HaMarocha. Neros HaMarocha. Okay, now, the Rav pointed out, and it's the Rambam will say this, but the Rambam has a very interesting shita. The Rambam happens to hold that the menorah in the Mishkan and something in the Beis Hamikdash was not lit only at night, but in the daytime as well, in the morning as well. Most people disagree, but that's what the Rambam holds. And the Rambam gets that because we find an interesting thing. Look back in Source 7, in Shmos Perak Chav Zayin Pasuk Chav and Tetzav, it says, Lahalos near Tomid. And in Emor again, Perak Chav Dal Pasuk Beis, and 8, it also says, Lahalos near Tomid. All right, well, you know, when it comes to the Lechem HaPonim that was on the Shulchan, we have a pasuk in Parashat Truma, Perkafei pasuk Lamed 11, V'nosato al Shulchan Lechem Ponim Lefonai Tomid. Same word, Tomid. And again in Parashat Emor, the subsequent Pesukim, Per Gimel, starting in pasuk Hei, V'lokachta Solas, you have to make flour and bake it into Chalos, 12, you know, 12 Chalos, Lechem HaPonim. And you put them v'samto some shtei marachos sheish hamarachos al shulchan atol lefnei Hashem, 2-6 shelf columns and so on. And again, it says also you had this lechem upon him. And in pasuk ches biyom haShabbos and on Shabbos yarchen lefnei Hashem tamid. So comes the Rambam and says in Hilchos Tmidin Umusafin Per Gimel Halacha Yud when he's talking about the Mishkan and the Menorah and the Mishkan basically there's also dishon hamenorah b'tovas harba boker. Ubein Arbay Mitzvah Sasei. They would have to do something called Hadlokas and Eros, something called Hatovas and Eros. Hatovas and Eros means cleaning out, you know, where the wicks, you know, the leftover parts of the wicks and oil, cleaning out the cups where the, you know, where the wicks are put. Today, you know, we have these little glasses that are disposable. I remember not that long ago, all of you remember, you know, it was a big pachka to light with oil because you had to get these little oil things and pour it into a thing and fold over these metal pieces to hold the thing in place. And then these different stock organizations had different gimmicks. They would send you these floating wicks and mices. Today, everybody, I don't think you get those anymore in the mail because everyone buys these, it depends how long you want it to burn. You have the 1 hour and a half box and two and a half, I think it's $2 more for every box, you know, every extra hour, you know, but whatever it is. So now you can get them. And they basically, it was a messy. I mean, it was always a mess. I mean, my wife always mentioned the Hanukkah table we have. I mean, there's always a mess with oil and wicks. Okay, it's still a little messy, but not the same. Anyway, so they had to clean it out. So the Rambam says that's a mitzvah saseh because the pasuk yaroch also aron uvanov. The pasuk both in he's calling the pasuk in Tetzaveh perchav zayin shmos pasuk chav aleph, and he said alakas ner tocha Shabbos. No, that's in perek yud alakas yud, and he mentions the halos ner tamid alakas yud beis mahu dishon hamenorah. What's the cleaning out of the menorah? He explains what you do, and he says that v'hadlokas enef salach yibayz v'hadlokas haneros hi hatavosam v'ner shenimtzu shalchav misakno. Fine, but he said the cleaning out of the hatava, the cleaning out of the thing required you to light it as well. So according to what Rav Soloveitchik said, the Rambam seems to be saying here in Hilchos Tmidim Musafin is that the menorah was actually lit in the daytime as well. In the daytime as well, not just at night. That's the Rambam Shita. Most assume that it was only lit at night, and in the morning, just had to clean it out. The Rambam holds, again, he says, they also had to light it. So now the Rav said, well, you put that Rambam together with what we asked before about Hilchos Chanukah. The Kasha was, according to the Rambam, the triumph, the victory happened on the 25th, okay, of Kislev. The Rambam says that Mefurish in Perek Gimel Halacha Beis that the victory happened on the 25th. And so then the Rambam says, there was a Pechadosh Yes, 1 second. So according to the Rambam, why do we start the holiday on the 25th? They didn't light the menorah in the Mikdash till the night of the 26th because they only came in on the 25th after the victory in the battle. So Pichodesh gives an answer. First day is for the victory in the battle. Fine. But the Rav said, according to the Rambam, come on to that. Because according to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah to light the Hanukkah candles during the day, not the Hanukkah candles, I mean the menorah candles and the mikdash, every day of the year, during the daytime as well. So therefore, on the 25th, doesn't say what time of day, whatever time of day it was, that the war ended and they were triumphant, they came into the base of Mikdash and they lit Bo Bayom on the 25th already. So that's why the holiday starts on the 25th. So says Rav Soloveitchik, explaining the Rambam, L'shitoso, there was a requirement to light on that. That's why there's a requirement to light already on the 25th. Now you may ask, according to the Rambam, how come we don't light Hanukkah candles both at night and in the morning? I mean, many shuls have a minig, just a minig, that they light candles in shul, you know, presuming Nisa during the chakras as well, but it's not really required. Certainly, we don't do it at home. Why not? So that's for a different reason we discussed in the past. The Pasuk says regarding, you know, the Gemara says that the candle of fire during the day, not visible, nothing to it. So part of Hanukkah candle is presuming Nisa. In the Mikdash, there was no dinner presuming Nisa. You lit the candle, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't need the light anyway. Not for him. Okay, that's the mitzvah. But for us, part of the mitzvah of Hanukkah is presuming Nisa. The light during the day is no point. Okay, as we see, the Pasuk says in the Torah, in Mishalach, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chavez Hashmos, 15, Lo Yomish, Amuda Anon Yomva, Wadish Laila, if they are at night. It's night when you have fire. That's when you have fire. Okay, during the night. And so, and the Gemara says in Brachas, okay, actually, did I quote it? Yeah. You look in Masechah Sofrim, Perek Chof Alachadal, 14, Mitzvah Sadlok Koso, the mitzvah to light the candles is Mishkiya Sachama, starts with sunset. Okay, we discussed that Masa Shabbos last week about sunset, nightfall, whatever it is. But he says, and what's that? Why? Because the Masechah Sofrim, again, quotes this Pasuk in Parshas B'Shalach. It's not really a proof because the Pasuk in Parshas B'Shalach is not talking about Hanukkah. It's talking about the pillar of fire that led the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. It was cloud by day, you know, and fire by night. But the point is, Eish B'Laila. So you need, Eish is only functional and only meaningful at night. And maybe he'd look by your home, and if you light during the day, says the Masechah Sofrim, the second one of 14, ain't the Elohim, and nobody gets any benefit from saying Baruch Hanukkah. And it refers to a Mishnah, which is also not talking about Hanukkah, it's someone Havdalah and Motzei Shabbos, with the same idea. Ain't Baruch Hanukkah, that's quoted in 16, it's a Mishnah Baruch Nun Aleph Mubez. Okay, talking about Havdalah, nothing to do with Hanukkah, but you make Havdalah, and you have to benefit from the fire, right? You look at your fingernails and so on. So that's our meaning. But again, you have to do it at a time you can benefit from the light. And when is that? The light of the fire. When is that? That's at night. And the Gemara even has an expression, Chulin, Samach HaMedbeis, and Chazal quoted in a few places, but here's the Gemara, 17, Deshraga B'tira, Maya Hani. Shraga means a candle of fire. Tira means in the afternoon, right? Rashi says there, Chulin, Samach HaMedbeis. Shraga B'tira, Ner B'tzarayim. Ain't no mayor, gives off no light. So Memela, the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, you have to be able to benefit from the light. So therefore, the mitzvah is not light. So therefore, even though according to the Rambam, according to this approach of the Rav, they did light during the day also that first day, the 25th. So we don't do it because no point for us in lighting the day because no presuminisa. So we light it the night before, right? It's just, you know, that's when we do it. But fundamentally, the Rambam Lashitoso, even though the triumph happened on the 25th, they tuck a little on the 25th. So do we. The only thing is we do it at night because we have the extra element of Pursumanis. The only problem is now, okay, and I'll come back to that Rambam in 19 in a moment, but the Shulchan Aruch says, in Tofrei Shine Bay, Sifalov, I should have printed this first, ninth out of order, but then 20, Shulchan Aruch rules, right? Ein Madlik in Echanak Shishka Chama, Elim Sof Shkiyasa, Lo Ma'ach Velo Ma'atim, and not earlier, not later than was the end of Shkia, which means nightfall. That's what Rambam explains in Sikwat Nalef in Tofrei Shine Beis 21. Hainu Tseis HaKochavim. Okay, I mean Tseis HaKochavim. And he quotes this Masechah Sofrim, right? The mitzvah is to during the day. You don't get any benefit from it and so on. Okay, now let's move to what the Rav asked. And again, in the Shia, that this YouTube video that was going around, I'd like to develop for the rest of this evening. Okay, that other Shia, something he said a different time in the background, introducing the subject. But again, according to the Rambam, it's a different idea. But the Rambam, so meaning that even the first day, the lighting has to do with the oil. Pichoda said the first day was the triumph of the war. But I don't think the Rambam disagrees. Again, if you look in Hilchos Chanukah carefully, he mentions about the war also. But the Rav asked the following question now in this other shiur. The Rav says, one second. First of all, what exactly does it mean that we're celebrating this, it's a triumph, in a battle? Whichever answer you like. Okay, whichever answer you like better. Let's say you like the answer that I have to do with the war. So Rav asks, why would we have a holiday for the triumph in a war against the Greeks? Rav asks, was this the only nitzachon in the Muhammad that we ever had? I mean, David HaMelech waged numerous wars and was victorious. Do we have a holiday, Yom Tov HaDoros, to commemorate any of those triumphs? The answer is no. So very good. We're happy they defeated the Greeks, but the Greeks weren't the first enemies of the Jewish people. There were many battles with the Plishtim and with others that David HaMelech, with David HaMelech when he killed Goliath and so on, the great event. And we have a Yontif to commemorate it. The Rav said, very strange to say it to me. I mean, we understand maybe they celebrated that year, but to be Koveya Yontif Ladoros, okay, the Yontif of all times because there was a victory in a battle, it seems a little bit strange that we should celebrate that. So the Rav said that's really a superficial reason, okay, to celebrate Ladoros. Obviously something deeper than that, okay, because just to say they had a military triumph, we had other military triumphs in our history, some perhaps greater than the Greeks, I don't know, okay? So that's one question he has. And even the miracle of the oil, okay, that's a great miracle, the oil burned for 8 days. Ask the Rav, but one second. There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Parakei Mishnah 22. Asara Nisim Nasal of Osenevei Samikdash. The Mishnah lists off a whole bunch of different Nisim that happened on a regular basis in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay? Loi Pila Ishimarech Basara Kodesh. A woman never passed out or fainted or lost her baby because of, the smell of the meat and so on. The Beis Hamikdash had dead animals and meat and so on. No one was ever hurt by that. Loi Sriach Basara Kodesh Be'olam. Right, none of the meat ever rotted, which is the thing, the Beis Hamikdash, especially in Yerushalayim, the blazing hot sun during the summer, you have meat there and no refrigeration, so nothing spoiled. And below near is Vuv Beis Hamikdash, where they cut up the meat, there were no bugs around, no flies, and a Kohen Gadol never became a Baal Kerem Yom Kippur, and the rain never, sometimes rains in Yerushalayim in the winter, the rain never extinguished the fire and so on and so forth, and the wind never blew out the Amud HaOshan. I never found the psula in this carbon and that issue and so on. And, in Yerushalayim, there were never any snakes and scorpions to bother people. And nobody ever complained about being there. And nobody had said, Sarli Amokim, Shalom Yerushalayim. Nobody said, it's too crowded in Yerushalayim. Today people say that, right? But, these are all these miracles, right? So these miracles, Asar Nisim Nasma Senri Samiklish, these miracles happen. So when the Gemara asked my Hanukkah for what miracle, okay, so forget, I thought we had made a distinction the first days and other days, perhaps. Somebody said as a joke, the Gemara says that they found one flask of oil with the chosom, with the seal, with the heksher of the Kohen Gadol. So the miracle on the first day was that they accepted that heksher, even though there was only one heksher on the oil. They didn't require multiple ashgachos. Anyway, but that itself was a miracle. Okay, but I remember Rabbi Twersky, Zichron Rocha, the psychiatrist, once told me Chassidus of Arti, because Tosas raised the kashim, it's something called Tumas Heset, which is, even if something's in a sealed jar, but if you move it, it can come. Tell me without the details right now. So if they were there, the Yavanim in the Beis Hamikdash, that was the Tame, even if it was sealed. So Arti Tosas, the Teretz was buried or whatever it was. But Twersky quoted from some Chassidus Sefer, said tongue in cheek, the miracle on the first day was that nobody thought of that kashim. That was a nice. Nobody came up with that country. Okay, anyway, but be that as it may, but the mission lists off here in Perkei Avos, Perkei Mishnah. Hey, there were numerous miracles happening all the time. We don't have any yontif commemorating all these other miracles. There's another one, or another two, one about the Lechem Aponim, one about the menorah, which also not listed in this particular mission. This mission is not an exhaustive list. But for example, we find, based on a Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Perkei Aleph, Pasuk Zion, 23. And the Rashi quotes there in Shmuel Aleph, Perkei Aleph, Pasuk 24, Rabbi Seinu, Amru Cham Biyom Hilakko. Right? When they took the Lechem upon him off the table, off the Shulchan, it was just as hot and as fresh as it was when they first put it on a week earlier. Usually you leave bread out a couple of days, it gets stale, it gets hard. It didn't happen. Okay, and the Gemara in Chagiga, Chaf Vavim Beis 25 says, "Ela Melamed Shemagbino So Umarin Bolo Olah Regalim Lechem Aponim." It's one of the things they showed off the Lechem to the Olah Regalim. They showed off the Lechem Aponim and Pesach was in Sukkot, right? And they said, "Ru'u Chibaschem of Ne'amokom." Look how beloved you, the Jewish people, are to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Siluko Kasiduro. Rashi explains there, Chagiga, Chaf Vavim Beis 26. Siluko Kasiduro. She Siluko LeShabbos Bo Cham Kiyom Siduro. That was a nace. The bread stayed hot and fresh. Nothing like hot bread, right? The bread stayed hot and fresh the whole week. It took it off after, just as hot as it was before. Damar Shuv and Levi, Nes Gadol Nasav Alechem Aponim. It was a great miracle, Alechem Aponim. Kisidur, Katsiluk, Hashem, right? He quotes that pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, right? And Rashi explains, Cham Biyom Lecho, Sheikh Cham Biyom Lecho, Me'al Shulchan. It was just as hot the day they took it off the table. So Rabban Shalom, this was a miracle. Where's the 8-day holiday commemorating this wonderful miracle, the Lechem Aponim? We don't have such a thing. Not only that, the Rav pointed out, but there's another miracle that involved oil. The Gemara in the Chanukah Sugya, Shabbos Chav Beis and Beis 27, most of Sheshes Mechutz Parochas or Edus Yaroch. Right, you have to light candles by the Parochas and so on in the Mishkan and subsequently the Beis Hamikdash and Bechila Oru Tzorich. What do you mean? The Kadosh Baruch Hu needs light; he can't see. Of course not. On the Rabbah, in the Midbar for 40 years, he led, like we read the puzzle before. His fire led everybody else. Ella Edus Hila Boyalam Shashchina Shor Bisrael. It's testimony that a Kadosh Baruch Hu rests his Shechina in our midst. Why? My Edus. Amarav Zu Ner Marovi. That's a big question. Ner Marovi, the westernmost candle means the far west side, or is it the middle one? Without that, the Rashi talks about, I'm not going to go through the whole Rashi now. Okay, explains exactly how the menorah was oriented. Was it side, which direction, north-south direction, east-west, not our issue now. I mean, if you want to, I printed all the Rashi's there. But the bottom line is, the Ner Marovi, my Edus Omarav, Zu Ner Marovi, Sheno Sin Bo Shemen Kamidis Chavrusa, the Ner Marovi, whichever lamp this was in the menorah, had as much oil as every other one. And yet, umimeno haya madlik ubo haya mesayim. That was the first one lit, and it was the last one to be extinguished. Well, how could it be? Okay, that was a miracle that happened every day, even though it should have burnt out first and was lit first. The answer is it didn't. Okay, and again, it's a long Rashi, ubo haya mesayim. Okay, and actually, Rashi refers, I'm not going to read the whole Rashi, but now Rashi there refers to a medrash. It's in the Yerushalmi, it's in the Tosefta, in Sota, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Zayin 29. Kol zman sheshivna tzadik kayim haya ner maravi tadir, that the ner maravi burnt all the time, it sounds like. Not just it was the last one to be lit, last one to go out. It was tadir, till the days of Shimon HaTzadik. When he died, sometimes they came in the morning and found that it went out, and sometimes it didn't go out, and so on. So that's a miracle exactly like the miracle of the Chanukah oil. It burned perhaps the whole year. Okay, it burned all the time. So the Rav said, now it's strange to say, we're going to have an 8-day holiday because the miracle of this, again, is a new angle here. You know, where you ask anybody on the street, why do we celebrate Hanukkah? So I'll tell you, oh, the miracle of the oil burn for 8 days, good. Or the miracle of the triumph of the Greeks. Oh, it's not incorrect, but it's not enough to be Kovei Yontov Adoris, the Rav said. Because again, a military battle, now go back. Okay, I should have printed it here, but if you look back at the source I skipped before, okay, the Rambam Hilchos Beis HaMechira, Perek Vav Halacha Tezayin 19, the Rambam paskens that the Kedusha of Mikdash in Yerushalayim was Kidshul Shaitan, Kidshul Asalovo. Right? The Kedusha is retained forever. Why? And Rambam explains why. Because that Kedusha is an account of the Shekhinah, and the Rambam has an expression that Shekhinah ain't a betela. The second line is Perk Vov of Hilchos Beis HaMechira, Halacha Tezayin 19. Shekhinah ain't a betela. Okay, fine. But as far as the rest of the land is concerned, that the Kedusha did disappear after the conquest of the Babylonians. Why? Because how did the Jewish people get that land in the first place? Through military conquest under Yoshua, right? So, right? But he says, look at the last words of 19, since they only got the land in the first place through a military conquest, well, then when a stronger military conqueror named Nebuchadnezzar shows up, it's lost. So battles are won and lost. Okay, you know what I mean? So the Rav said today to say, oh, we won this battle. Great. But then we lost later on, right? I mean, you know, what are we still commemorating? It's a little strange. You're commemorating we defeated the Greeks? Okay, so very nice. But then later on, the base was destroyed anyway by the Romans. It's like, and again, a military battle, there were other military victories. And even this military victory were undone. So this military victory also was eventually undone. That's the Rav's caution. So the Rav approached his whole shear here based on something that's found in Hasidic literature, Kabbalistic literature. He said, especially in Chabad literature, okay, we have a statement of Zohar in Parshas Va'era, source 30. Tre almaninu, chad almodis kasya, v'chad almodis galya. There's the world that's revealed, that we know, that's is galya, the second thing, like legalos, it's evident in front of us. But there's also almodis kasya. There's also the hidden world, which we don't understand when we're living in it. He said, if you look in the sources, he said, even the so-called Megillas Chashmonaim, Sefer Chashmonaim, so it speaks about the conquest and about the oil, but again, that was written by the historians of that time. So not part of Kisra Kodesh, not part of Tanakh, it's not written in Baruch HaKodesh, it's so-called part of the Apocrypha, Svarim HaKitonim. Doesn't mean it's not a valuable source, it's not, it's not Kisra Kodesh. But anyway, it's a historical source. So the but that was written by the people at that time. Okay, so they perceived things the way they saw them. And the Rebbe was saying, you think every historian who writes today perceives the whole picture? Sometimes you don't see things till later on. You're right, what you see right then. But he said, there's the Alma Disgalia and the Alma Discasia. So he said, the Alma Disgalia, okay, revealed, so to speak, side of Hanukkah. The Zohar is not talking about Hanukkah, but the concept of the Alma Disgalia, that refers to things that, okay, you know, the military triumph, that's a big thing, right? That we see that. And even the miracle of the oil, as we explained, it's a miracle, but, you know, it's kind of obvious, we understand it. But he said there's something much more deep over here. And that is, and he went into the idea, or he developed the idea, that Hanukkah was really about the idea of undoing tumah, undoing the tumah, the defilement that had been caused at that time. Okay, and that's really, he doesn't quote this, but it's in the Or Zeruah. Okay, the Or Zeruah, Chelek Be'ez Hilchos Hanukkah, Siman Shin Chof Aleph. All right, he mentions the 8-day miracle, and he gives a different, as we saw two before. So the Ran gives why it was 8 days, because they had 4 days to go to where the olive oil was manufactured, and 4 days to come back. Good. Okay. And then the Beis Yosef quoted the answer because they were Tomei and had to become Torah. Look what the Rezor writes. 31. They were fixing everything up. Okay. They were purifying everything. They were fixing the Mizbeach and the Klei Shoreis. Right, and he quotes the Megillas Tainus. I quoted in 32 Megillas Tainus. Parakas Megillas Tainus is a scroll, probably the first part of Torah Shabbat ever written down. It's a scroll of days of many Yomim Tovim. Goes by each month of the year. So, actually, it should be. It should be Parakas. It says Parakas. It should be Parakas. I made a mistake. But anyway, but it's talking about Kislev, right? And he quotes the Megillas Tainus. By the way, that's where the Gemara that we started with, that of Chof Aleph and Beis, is my Chanukah, the Tanur Rabbanan. That's where Tanur Rabbanan comes from. It comes from Megillas Tainus. This was a list of days when you weren't allowed to fast. And each month, there were certain days you couldn't fast. Why? Because something was done to fix up the Beis HaMikdash. There were many fasts. It wasn't Yontif. There was many fasts. Like, parallel today would be, wouldn't say Tachanun. Okay, that's what it's about. But anyway, so it speaks about Hanukkah. And if you look carefully in that version, a different version of Megillas Tainus, there was Ruah, look what it says. It says they waited to light the candles until everything was done, until everything was fixed. Okay, and he writes, look in the third line of 31. Kashagavru Yad Beis Chashmaraim, hey, Biyo Shiva Shpude Barzel. They brought the things to fix the menorah, 7 poles and so on. And then they started to light, but they waited, okay? Because they waited for the Mizbeach to be done and all the clay shores to be fixed up. All right. And then they lit the menorah. So, the Nes of the Pach Hashem, I'm sorry, they lit the menorah and a Kadosh Baruch Hu Kanam and Mela did the miracle while they're fixing everything up. They didn't really have the full menorah. They just brought these 7 sticks or whatever it may be to make a makeshift menorah, so to speak. And they lit something and it burned for 8 days. Why? Because that's what they needed to get everything in order. It wasn't, you follow what he's saying? It was a miracle, kind of a mela, all right? And that's why it was Hanukkah. And why is it called Hanukkah? Al shum Chanukas HaMizbeach. That's what's called Hanukkah, because of Chanukas HaMizbeach. That's why we lay in the Parsha of Nesiim, the Kriyas HaTorah for Hanukkah, because the Nesiim that we lay in each morning, their karbonos, when they dedicated the Mishkan, did not happen Hanukkah time. It happened in Nisan. Happened in Nisan. Nothing to do with Hanukkah. Yet that's the laying for Hanukkah, because the parallel, Chanukas HaMizbeach. This was also Chanukas HaMizbeach. That's the point. It was a Chanukah Samizbeach. So that's what it says in the Megillas Tainus. And that's what the Or Zeruah says. So in Mela, what comes out from the Or Zeruah is the Chanukah, the oil, that wasn't the main thing they were doing. The main thing, they were fixing up the Mishkan tent. They needed 8 days to get that all done. So Mela had a miracle because they put this makeshift menorah together and so on and so forth. Okay. Now, with this in mind, we can understand something else. Okay. The Or Zeruah refers to this as well. Pasuk says in Parsha Baaloscha, we're going to lay that at the very end of Hanukkah, Parakhas of Pesuk Aleph and Beis. We're laying that part of the lane, the last day of Hanukkah, with that long, long aliyah. Okay, you got to get through the Nesim of day 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Then the summary, then into Baaloscha. It says, by the Vashem Shalimor, Daber Al Amor, Baaloscha Saneros, right? Baaloscha Saneros. Well, that comes at the very end. The beginning of Parshat Balosa comes right after the end of Parshat Noso, when you had all the Nisim. So Rashi quotes there in Balosa, Bamidbar Parakas, Pasuk Beis 34, Loma Nismucha Parshat Menorah, Parshat Nisim. What's the connection between the Parshat Menorah, the beginning of Balosa, and the end of Noso, the Nisim? So Aaron was dejected. Says because all the other tribal leaders got to participate by bringing korbanos every day. We lay in like now by Omer Rishon, you know, is his Nachshon and Nodov, and the second day was his Yisachar, and the third day was his Zvul, or whatever. Each day is somebody else. And the Shevet Aaron, the Levim, were never represented. This Aaron was ejected, and Akash Baruch said, no, you get even something even better. Okay, that's the Medrash in Bemidbar Rabbah. Parsha Tezvav Simon Vav. Okay, that was to appease Aaron, so to speak. You get something better. Right, Balosos Haneris. It's a little funny, the Ramban points out in 36, I'm not reading this inside because it's a side point, but the Ramban says in 36, what was Aaron complaining about? He had plenty of things to do in the Mishkan that no one else could do. Right? Hashem answer, oh, you didn't get the participate? Don't worry, you get to bring the Ketores. You get to be in charge of the Karbonas. You get to do the Avodah Yom Kippur. There are many things that only the call. What was Aaron upset about? Okay, and what was he appeased? Oh, you get to light the menorah. There are lots of things that Aaron, the Kohanim, and by extension, Levium do that no one else can do. Okay, well, what's going on exactly? So that's Ramban's kasha. And basically, the Ramban says, well, this is a reference to something else. It's a reference to something that Aaron's dejection was not that he didn't have enough to do in the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't get to participate in the dedication. Dedication is a special thing, you know, it's inauguration. He had to participate in that. He knew there are plenty of things he can do no one else can do. But he didn't get to participate in the dedication ceremony. So when Hashem said, there's something else you have, the menorah, says the Ramban, and he thinks that's what the Medrash maybe means, it's a reference to, there'll be a different dedication, a rededication, and that will be done by your descendants, the Kohanim. And says the Ramban, at the end of that paragraph, what's the Chashmonoi Kohen Gadol Banon? He remez min aparshal chanakas from Nero Shoyz of Bayesheni Ayat Aaron of Banon. That's what I mean. There is a dedication. There'll be another dedication where your family will be the primary participants, referring to the Chashmonoim, you know, and so on. And so he has, his brothers as well. And so therefore, we told him you get something better. Again, a reference to the Chashmonoim, that dedication. Anyway, what do you see from all of that? We see from all of that that the dedication of the time of Hanukkah, according to this Ramban, based on the Medrash, and according to what the Rosh Hashanah is driving at, this wasn't so much the lighting of the menorah, but the lighting of the menorah as a part of the dedication of the Mishkan, and at that time, of the Beis HaMikdash at that time. That's the idea. So when we say, my Hanukkah, according to the Zeruah's approach, according to this approach, it's not the miracle of the oil so much, it's not the idea of the triumph in the battle, but it's the idea of rededicating Jews, the Jewish people, rededicating the Beis HaMikdash, fixing up and rededicating the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Rav said is the Alma Diskasya, the hidden message of Hanukkah, but really Orzeruah suggested, and then again, by extension, the Ramban suggested, but that's what he said. But then the Rav took it a step further, and he said, you know, Hanukkah, the language of the Gemara is, if you look back in Source 1, the Bryce and Shabbos Chof Alvin Beis, it says, Kishenichnasu Yevonim Lahechel. When the Yevonim entered the Hechel, the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rav pointed out, you know, there's another time when somebody entered the Hechel too. And that's the famous Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Vav Mid Beis. That was, you know, a couple centuries later when the Romans came, right? Gittin Nun Vav Mid Beis 37. Zetitus Harosha Shechira Figidev Klapei Mala Titus, right? The Roman general who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash went in with a zona, tofa zona, the other, v'nichnas l'beis kodesh hakadoshim. He also went into the kodesh hakadoshim, and he ripped the Sefer Torah there, and so on. We talk about this on Tisha B'Av, you know, it's from the Gemaras that we learn on Tisha B'Av. Anyway, either it's a parochas, he ripped down the parochas, and so on. So what's the difference between the entry of the Greeks and the entry of Titus and representing the Romans? So the Rav suggested, again, this idea, that it's interesting, the Greeks did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't destroy it. It wasn't destroyed. Beis HaMikdash stood. Okay. What the Greeks did was they defiled it. They introduced a tumah into the Beis HaMikdash. So we had to fix things and replace things and so on. It was speaking about that Orzeruah based on the Mikdash Tainus. Okay. But they did not destroy. The Romans destroyed. The Rav emphasized, that's why the Gemara says, the Gider es HaParochas. He ripped down the parochas. The Romans plundered. The Romans destroyed. The Greeks didn't destroy. They didn't engage in churban. They engaged in tumah. Okay, now that's a significant distinction. Not to destroy, okay, but rather to engage in tumah. And the Rav took this in the following direction. He said, who exactly was it among the that time of the Hanukkah story that performed or engaged in this act of being metame? Not such a simple answer. Hold off. Okay. The Rav pointed out the fascinating Gemara Moed Katan Daf Chof Hem Beis starts Tanar Banan, mostly Chof Omanala. Okay. The Eile Kroin Shein Mesachin. These are people of the situation where you have to tear Kriya, tear your shirt, your jacket, right? And you don't sew it back up. Al Aviv, Al Imo, your father and your mother, Al Rebbe, Rabbo Shlindel Torah, Al Nosil, Al Av Bezin, Al Shmuel Saroz, Al Birchas Hashem, who's on curse, Al Sefer Torah Shenisrof, that's mentioned right now. God forbid a Sefer Torah burns, that's a tear Kriya. And also Al Yehud, Al Mitzvah, Yushalayim, fine. A few lines later in the Gemara, Omer B'chelba, Omer B'huna, again, this is Moed Katan Chav Vav and Alev, Haroa Sefer Torah Shenikra, the Nikra means torn, but the Rashash points out in 39 that it should say Nisrof. Okay, look at 39, the Rashash there in Chof Vav and Alev, Omer Chavar, Omer Chavar, Omer Puna, Sefer Torah Nisrof, Nisrof, Kachi Barif Haraj, the Gears of Shubi Nisrof. Okay, so a person sees a Sefer Torah burnt, Shenikra Chayv Likroa Shteik Kriyos. You have to rise Kriya, you have to tear Kriya twice. Echad Alagvil, the Echad Alaksav. One for the parchment that was destroyed, and one for the letters, the Ksav of the Sefer Torah that was destroyed. Okay. Shenemar, he quotes a pasuk, Acharei Saraf HaMelech HaSamikila Esadvor. What's going on here? So the whole page of Moed Katan is built on psukim from Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Vav. I'm not going to read all the psukim now, but it's fascinating to look at. So it's 40. Okay. In the fourth year of the reign of Yoakim, Yirmiyahu HaNavi was told the following. Beis, Kach Lecha Megillah Sefer. Write yourself in Megillah. And write in all the things I'm going to tell you that's going to happen in terms of destruction. And read it to the people, because in Pasuk Gimel, Ulai Yishmu Beisudas Chalara. They'll hear the foreseeing of all the tragedies that are going to happen, the disasters, and they'll do tshuva. Oman Yoshuv Ishmidarko Ra. Salachti Labonam Lachatosim. And Yirmiyahu did that. Okay? And you know what we call that? Megillas Eicha, or Megillas Kinnis, it's sometimes called. That's Megillas Eicha. Most of it was written by Yirmiyahu as a prophetic foretelling. It was not after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, as many people think. According to this Gemara, again, Sukkim Yirmiyahu, it's understood to refer to the Megillah. You look in the Chomas Anach 41, in the Perek Lamed Vav of Yirmiyahu, Chomas Anach is from the Chidah. He writes, Kacha Megillas Sefer, Amru Chazal, Shatzivo Lichtov Megillas Eicha. This is a reference to Megillas Eicha. And at first, he wrote only three prokem, three aleph beis. And after the king destroyed that, we'll go back to the second. Then he wrote another, the third parak with, you know, the triple aleph beis we know from Eicha. Okay, so he wrote Megillas Eicha, hoping that he'd read that to the people and they'll hear, oh my God, that's what's going to happen. We're going to do tshuva. It didn't work because in Pasuk of Gimel, Pasuk of Beis Chav Gimel, the king was sitting in his winter house with the fire burning, and when they read it to him and so on, he cast the Megillah, he tore it up and he threw it into the fire. Okay, and they weren't afraid. They didn't do tshuva. So now pasuk of Zion, by Hidvar Hashem al Yirmiyahu Acharei Sorof HaMelech HaMegillah V'Sadvarim. After he destroyed this Megillah and the words in it and so on, which was written by Baruch, you know, that was Yirmiyahu's scribe Baruch Ben Neriah B'Pir Yirmiyahu. So now by Hidvar Hashem al Yirmiyahu, there is going to be Shuv Kachach HaMegillah Acharis. Get yourself another scroll, rewrite it, and this time you tell Yoakim the game's over and so on. We driven out and so on. Okay, now, so based on this, since the pasuk says in pasuk of Zion, Acharei Sarof HaMelech is HaMegillah Ves HaDvarim, double thing. The Megillah is the scroll, the drama of the words. So that's why Rav Huna says, Nigmar and Modkot and Chavav and Aleph, that someone who sees the Sefer Torah burning, or a burned Sefer Torah, should tear Kriya twice, once for the Klaf, the Gvil, the parchment, and once for the words. Okay, and that's halacha. The Ram Hilchos Ovel, Perek Tes Halach HaBeis 42. Kederach Shekoy Adam Al Ovel, Imo Kachav Likol, Rabos and Torah, etc., etc. And on Sefer Torah Shenisov, and Halach HaTes, Me'ein Chav Likol, Sefer Torah Shenisov, Mizrov. Doesn't mean the Sefer Torah that burnt, let's say it was gone from a bit of fire, it was an accident. It means it was burnt on purpose, like the story. Okay. V'chayav Likol, Shtei Kriyos, Achas Al Gvil, V'achas Al Kav, Miksav, and he quotes this Pasuk, Acharei Tzarof HaMelech HaMegillah HaSadvarim. Shulchan Aruch also. Yoredei Simen Shin Mem, Sif Lamed Zayin, Hilchos Kriya. 43, Haroa Sefer Torah Shenisrof, Otfilin and so on, Otfilin Megillah Achas, even Megillah, Ravim, Eksub, doesn't matter, Korea Shtei Kriyas, that's the din. Okay? Now, said the Rav, very interesting, that's Halacha. Because there's a famous Gemara about Azara, Daf Yud Ches Men Aleph. We know about it from the Asara Haruge Malchus. Okay, the Gemara tells the whole story there on Yud Ches Men Aleph and Azara 44 about Reb Chanina ben Trajon. Chanina ben Trajon went, you know, was caught by the Romans. Rabbi Chanina ben Chasha Yosef Osek b'Torah. They brought him to the authorities. He had a Sefer Torah with him. And we know again from the Asara Haruge Malchus, Kinnon Tisha B'Av and the pastor right recite the Musaf and Kippur, right? He was wrapped up in the Sefer Torah and they set fire to him together with Tziso, Bohenes Haor. They lit the fire to the Sefer Torah to him and they put sponges on him so the burning would prolong, the torture would be longer, okay? And Omer Lo Bito Abba Ereka Bekach, how can this be? Right? Rashi there in Chesed 45 says, that's the schar for Torah. But never mind, as I be burnt, it's one thing he's been said about the same Torah. Anyway, they said afterwards, okay, Amo Talmid of Rebbe Ma Taroa, Amo Lehen Gilayon Nisrafin Vosos Pokos. I see parchment burning, but the words are disappearing, are flying up, right, into the air, and meaning that they can be rewritten another time. So, 1 second. So the Rav said, you see from Rebbe Chanina ben Trajon, that when a Sefer Torah is burnt, the words don't get burnt. The words, so to speak, fly off. We have to tear kriya for the parchment, but the words are not destroyed. So Rebbe Chanina ben Trajon lived as a Tana several centuries before Rav Huna, the Amora, Chavav and Aleph. So how could he say when a Sefer Torah is burnt, you have to tear kriya twice, once for the parchment, one for the words? I thought the words don't really get destroyed. The words are parchos, vosios parchos. Right? The words fly up, and if, as the Rav said very dramatically, you know, many times they burnt our Sefer Torah, and we write it again, and they burnt our works. We write more halacha works, right? The words come back. So Rav answered, it's a kukasha, it's a stira, right? So Rav answered, it depends who's doing the burning. Who's doing the burning? In the story of Rav Chanina and Trajon, who's doing the burning? Goyim, right? The Roman officials, the Goyim are doing. Goyim have no shlita over the words of Torah. They can destroy the parchment, but they can't destroy our word. The words of Torah, they have no shlita over. They have no control over. Okay, but the story about, you know, Sefer Torah Shenisraf, the Gemara Moed Katan, that's learned from Yoyakim, a Jew, who burnt the Megillas Eicha that Yirmiyahu wrote. A Jew, Rachman Al-Tzan, can destroy and have even the Pnimius of Torah. And that's why I have to tear Kriya twice. When it's a Jew who destroys it, like in that story. When it's a Goy, it's a different thing. And the Rav said an interesting thing, and he quoted some sofer. Okay, the Pasuk says in Tilim, Perak Ayin Tes, Pasuk Allah 46, Mizmor La'Asaf, Elokim, Boy, Gom, and Achazecha, and so on. Right? Mizmor La'Asaf, song for Asaf. Goyim have come into your Nachal, into Yerushalayim, and so on. Some of Yerushalayim, Elim, etc. So Medrash Necha Rabba, Parsha Dal, Simon Yud Dal, 47, asks, and the Gemara has in Kedushin, and the Rashi in Kedushin quotes it, but the Gemara says, what do you mean Mizmor? Mizmor is a song. No, we're happy, cheerful. Mizmor la'osav. Let's sing a song. Elokim boy goyim achasecha. Oh, good. The goyim have marched in. Our enemies have marched in. What kind of mizmor la'osav? Okay. It says the Medrash Necharaba Parshat Dalos Minyan Dalos 47. Lohava krotzark lememer ela bechi la'osav, or nehi la'osav, or kina la'osav. Right, the lamentation, a dirge. What do you mean mizmor la'osav? Why do we say mizmor la'osav? So he gives a mushel to a father that got angry at his son, a king got angry at his son, and it has building a place for chuppah, destroyed everything. He didn't harm the son. You know why? That's the famous, and the Medrash ends there. Amalai Mizmor Nishashafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chamos HaEitzim HaLavonim. Below Shafa Chamos HaYisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the stone, the wood of the base of Mikdash, but not the Jewish people. Like Gemara Kedushin has like that, Laman Al from the base, it quotes Avimi, who, you know, always honored his father, even though he had sons of Tamar Chachamim, but he always answered the door for his father and son. Okay, and he Darshan Mizmor Asav, and Rashi there, and Kedushin said that he's the one who came up with this Darshan. Fine. Okay, now, said the Rav, what's the idea? And we quote the Chassam Sofer. He said, you know why? It was, we can say Mizmor La'asav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only destroyed the wood and the stone because it was Goyim. It was the Romans. It was the Babylonians. You know, and they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But Rachman Al-Tzan, a Jew, does that. The Jew infects the Pinyas as well. Infects the inner part as well. Then we would have to say Kina La'asav. It was only Mizmor La'asav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shofach HaMas Chaitzav Amonim. That was because it was just stone or wood. It was just non-Jews. Okay, and he said, we find, unfortunately, Jews who very often cooperate with their enemies. He quotes a Medrash, the Rav referred to a Medrash Tilim, he didn't say where it was, but he quoted a Medrash, but I found in the Medrash Shokotav, Mizmor Yud Aleph, Pasuk Zion, 50, Omer Chachamim, that was Yaakov Yisrael, or Yaakim, that was his name, Yaakim or El Yaakim, Ish Tzoros Haya Ben Ishto Ben Achoso, it should say, Shal Yosi Ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda. He was one of the Zugos, one of the early pairs in Pirkei Avos, the first pair of Pirkei Avos of the Zugos, the leaders, you know, after Shimon HaTzadik and so on. Yosi Ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda was his name. Okay, and his nephew was in trouble and the executioner. Then that's a whole story how he did tshuva, whatever. But he was one of the executioners, a Jew. So the Rav's point was that what happened Chanukah time, it was really not the Yevanim so much as the Misyavnim, the Jews. In the Roman times, the Rav said, we don't find that Jews cooperated with the Romans. There was a big machlokas, but they should make peace with the Romans, the Birionim and the Zealots and so on in Yerushalayim. But we don't find the Jews cooperated. When it came to the Greeks, many Jews cooperated. Many Jews became Misyavnim. They became like the Greeks. They can defile. The Romans destroyed. They can't. They ruined. The Greeks, it wasn't really mean the Greeks, said the Rav. It was the Misyavnim who cooperated with the Greeks and in some ways even took over. They're the ones. So they're the ones. They can bring about Tumah. And that's what had to be undone. That's what took. There was a rule said, we said before. The Rav didn't quote the rule, like I said. But there was a rule said, it took a week to get everything back, tar again, and back the way it was. Not so much because of destruction, physical destruction, because to eliminate Tumah, that's brought about by Jews, Misyavnim, and there were no shortage of Jews, unfortunately, who cooperated, who wanted to obliterate the Torah. And you know, like we say, Lashkicham Torah Secha, was my fellow Jews, Zeydim Yaroske Torah Secha, they were Jews, apostate Jews. We always had these people. And it was an organized group at that time. And it's interesting because this the Rav didn't say, but I'll just bring it as a backup. A friend of mine suggested this. There's a sugya in Avodah Zarah. Of Nun Beis and Beis. The Pasuk in Cheskel, I've quoted 51 Perek Zayin, Pasuk of Beis, has an expression, Uba Uba Pritzim V'chilaluha. So the Gemara discusses there, can, you know, if stuff in the Beis HaMikdash was used for Avodah Zarah, all right, does it become Tameh? Do the non-Jews, again, the details, which later, I can't go into all the details, but, you know, do the Goyim have the capacity, so to speak, I don't say authority, capacity to make something, you know, from the Beis HaMikdash, Tomei, and so on. So it says, Bo'oba Pritzim V'chalua. Okay? Yeah, you see that pasuk, Bo'oba Pritzim V'chalua. All right? And this has to do with Me'ila, because after all, Rashi quotes there in Avodah Zarah and Beis HaMikdash, Om Dibra Masal, Om Rav Sheshes, Ein Adam Osa Dover Shein of Shalom. You can't prohibit something that's not yours. So how could they do it? You know, okay. So anyway, you look at the Gemara. If you look in the Baal Hamor, who were these pritzim bobo pritzim chalua? He said, not talking about goyim. They're talking about Jews. They're talking about Jews. That's the Baal Hamor. It's the Chav Dal Amud Aleph in the Rif, going over to Chav Dal Amud Beis. The Nir Alano, he says, again, it works out the Gemara. He says, it's talking about Jews who did this. All right? And the goyim got it from Jews. The Jews were the ones who mechalal. Why? The idea is because the goyim can't be mechalal. They can't make something tomei. They can destroy. But the Tumah, so to speak, is news. That's the Baal Hamor. Now, full disclosure, Ramban disagrees. The Muhammad's over there, and over the Zorach Abdom and Alpha page of the Rif, he said, no, it was the Goyim that did it. How it works and so on. Okay, so it's a technicality. The Rambam also is interesting in Tshuva. It's in Reish Tess, okay? In his Tshuva's Rambam 56, he says, My Yom, the Rebbe, Misha Konam in a Bozen Sifre Kodesh. A guy bought a Sifre Torah or something that used to belong to Shul, and they looted the Shul, okay? And you know, can you buy it from the non-Jews and so on, or what do you do with it? So he says, the answer is, he says, the batal din hektish from it. It was done by the authority of the Sultan, batal din hektish, because even the Klei HaMikdash, you know, the Kedusha was taken away by Goyim. The Rambam held, like we saw before, that the Klei HaMikdash, you can't, it doesn't agree with the Ramban all the way, okay? The Ramban says the Klei HaMikdash and the ground of the Beis HaMikdash, everything can be taken away. The Rambam says the ground can't be, just the Klei HaMikdash. But anyway, bottom line, he quotes that same pasuk, like Rabban, about a more quote of Bo, and the more quotes, Bo, preaching with Kalua. Okay, and it was done with the Rishus, and so, okay, so look at that Rambam, he says, he makes this distinction as well. So, Mimela Rabosai, the Rav's suggestion is that to use his language based on that Zohar before, the Alma, this Galia of Hanukkah is something totally different. It's a triumph over Jews who opted to defile. It's not so much the Yevanim. He said that, you know, when he said Niknos Yevanim Lehechel, it's almost like Loshen Saginar. They don't want to say it was fellow Jews, like the Chazal didn't want to, you know, impugn the Jewish people that are dominating and so on and so forth. But unfortunately, the Rav said it was Jews. And we Jews can infect even the Pnimius. The Goyim can infect the Chitzonis, the Etzim Avonim, perhaps some of the Kalim of the Mikdash and so on, they can defile, but not the Primus, that they can't take away. but Jews can affect that. And that's what the Rav said is really the, you know, the essence of Hanukkah. And that's what had to be fixed up and so on. And it's interesting because our text always is, we'll finish with this, the Gemara has in Shabbos Chof Gimel Alf, the brachas that we recite on Hanukkah. Okay, we know that the make three brachas in the first night, two in the second night, the rest of the week. And the first bracha is Ladlik Neshul Hanukkah. It doesn't say in the Gemara what the text of the bracha is. That's interesting by itself. It's in my second sofer. Rashi there in Shabbos Chof Gimel Alam 58 says, Arom Baruch Shtayim, Sha'os Anisim, right? The bracha is Sha'os Anisim. And the Rambam spells out the text of the bracha. Hilchas Hanukkah Per Gimel Alam Dalad. Here's the bracha. Bracha to Hashem in the second line. Sha'os Anisim, Hosein Bayom Mehaim, Basman Azeh. Right, that's the text. Mariel has an Hilchas Chanukah and Os Gimel as well, 60. Bayomim Ahem Bazman Azeh. What does that mean? Bayomim Ahem Bazman Bazman Azeh. And of course, we have in our davening as well, right? In Haneros Halalu, 61. What do we say? We have to light the Chanukah. Haneros Halalu, Amalik and so on. Alachuos, Alchos, Shalsir, Sinner, Bayomim Ahem Bazman Azeh. And in Alanisim, 62 in the Siddur as well. Alanisim, Alporkam, Alchos, Shalsir, Sinner, Bayomim Ahem Bazman Azeh. The Rav said, you know, Bayomim Ahem, that wouldn't be enough for Yontif, like we said before, a military triumph. Okay, there are many military triumphs, and military triumph was undone. The miracle of the oil, there are many miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't the only one. It's not enough to make Hanukkah the Doris, okay, to apply Bazman Hazeh. But he said, the removal of defilement made, unfortunately, by Jews, by Misyavnim, and strengthening ourselves as people who are who want to stand up for Torah, that is Bazman Hazeh as well. Now we have to see the hidden story of Hanukkah is that they fixed up the Mikdash. Like the Rosh said, they fixed up the Mikdash, they made a makeshift menorah, it took them 8 days to do that, and so on. That was the real, sort of real Nes Hanukkah. And that's what we continue according to this approach. That's the hidden story of Hanukkah, but that's what we continue to observe to this day. You know, our triumph over, unfortunately, fellow Jews, you know, who abandoned Torah and Mitzvah, that's the worst thing in the world, because they can infect all of us and infect everything. And that's why we have to stand strong and stand up. That's the kind of the message of Hanukkah, or an auxiliary message of Hanukkah, to stand strong against our own brethren, unfortunately, sometimes who have done the wrong thing. Again, there's no shortage of such people today, and there never was a shortage of such people who joined up with our enemies and were assimilated and so on and so forth. And that's what we have to stand up for on Hanukkah as well. Wish everybody a guten Shabbos, a guten Chodesh, and a freilichen Hanukkah.